Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
If it brings her to the same point that it brings you, it doesn't matter whether she called it God along the way or not.
That understanding works for you, and so therefore it is absolutely right for you.
All beliefs have become only relatively true, and of course to the world, religion is just some personalized experience, not a divine revelation, and the church is catching the disease.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
This is Wretched Radio bringing you... What are we bringing? Celebrity news and infotainment. With a Bible verse slapped on it, so you still think this is Christian radio. You know... Like you hear at the K-Love. Did I actually say the call letters of the... This is Wretched Radio. Hey, this is very exciting in the world of Christian news. Jimmy, this TV show, I guess it's all the rage. It's a ratings bonanza. Transform Season 4. They just dropped a new episode, number 10. Still ashamed after saying I'm sorry. Listen to the description of this bad boy right here. Natalie feels like she's walking through life with a cloud over her head. Though forgiveness has been offered, shame lingers. Her husband, Guy, can't seem to stop bringing up her past. As they wrestle with trust, guilt, and spiritual pride, Dr. Lou Priolo leads them back to the gospel. Real hope is found in humility, grace, and believing what God says is true. Healing begins when shame loses its... What is that word? When shame loses its voice. Who wrote that? Oh. That's not the way we talk here. Transform Season 4, Episode 10. I'm telling you, people are digging this series. It is real people, real marriages, real problems, real solutions. It is, of course, free. At FortisPlus.org. Don't be deceived by the plus. It is all free.
And on the next episode of Transformed.
Yeah, that sounds like the guy who's actually on Transformed.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That's you.
The guy with the wonderful voice.
Yeah, that's the fellow right here.
On the next episode of Transformed, Todd's going to actually be a guest. Shame, lists, plugs.
Who's next? Do you have any idea? We've got 13 episodes.
Right, we do.
And then please note, all of these can be used for Bible study, which is really, your class will watch it, and then you'll open up what was taught by Lou Priolo. It will strengthen marriages and help them. Okay, so here's the, in this couple, she was unfaithful multiple times. She repented, he forgave. And yet, we're human beings. I know we're supposed to drop it in the sea of forgetfulness, which, by the way, doesn't mean that you never remember it. It simply means that you don't bring it up. But he does continue to bring it up. And so it doesn't feel like she's been forgiven, which I think is an important thing to consider when it comes to repentance and forgiveness. There are so many angles that can sabotage the reconciliation that comes from repenting wrongly. And having said that, we also need to learn that even when repentance ain't done right, we still need to do our bit. So for instance, if you have been sinned against and somebody repents, but you don't think that it is as earnest as it should be, we are still called to forgive, and we're still called not to bring it up, and we're still called to not throw it in their face again. You know, the way God treats us, he doesn't bring it up and tease us with it or use it as a cudgel, and we shouldn't either, even if the person didn't repent to our standard. Having said that, you repent and the other person keeps bringing it up. Does that mean that you can get angry and retaliate or huff and puff? The answer is no, you can't. Repentance is powerful. Repentance is what I think keeps intimate relationships healthy. And I'm talking really in any context, but it, you know, where the dynamic is more intense inside of the home, inside of the church, with whether it's your spouse or with your children, repentance is crucial. It just removes the stains from the carpet. It removes the stains. It gets rid of the filth, because if you don't deal with it spot by spot, spill by spill, you're going to have some real garbage sort of carpet. Yeah, I'm working with this illustration. In your relationships, repentance cleans it up. But when people don't do it right, it doesn't give us license then to harbor, to get angry, or to grow a root of bitterness. Watching these transformed episodes will help you down that road. And here, okay, here's another dynamic to repentance. You sinned, you repent, but the person that you repented to, they continue to not let the relationship be what it once was. What are the implications for that? Well, I can think of at least two. First of all, you do not, therefore, get license to bring it up and get into a fight over it. Hey, when are you going to? I said I'm sorry. Okay, let's move on.org here. Nope, you don't get to do that. I think that's one of the things that we're really inclined to do, and we got to cut that out. The second implication of repenting and your spouse isn't willing to be the same as it was, I think you need to walk a mile in his or her shoes. I think that you need to find a way to, as best you can, sympathize and empathize with them. We tend to overlook our wounding. We have a tendency to think it wasn't that bad. Yeah, okay, sure, I said this, but I could have said that. Yes, I did this, but I didn't do that. We can't be the judge of the depth of the wound. We have to help that person to heal, and we need to be patient for that person to heal. If we don't let them do that and just tell them to, hey, let's get over it here. Let's get back to business. I think you're closer to being one of Job's counselors. We actually talked about this Sunday morning. When I say we, I mean Eric, who is teaching Sunday school at Alpharetta Bible Church. And Job's comforters, do you remember? They started out pretty strong. They just sat with him. They just entered into it with them. And that is an aside from the current aside that I'm on, is something that you and I, if you don't know what to say or what to do, and perhaps it keeps you from trying to comfort somebody, because I don't know what I would do. You don't need to do nothing. You can just be there. You can just comfort them with your presence. Yeah, you can learn to say things, but you don't have to feel like, oh, if I don't get a 3-point alliterated sermon in, then I really haven't comforted them. Just being there can be comforting. Job's comforters did that pretty well for a week. Then they started to accuse. Job, you must be sinning. And it all unraveled. They were rotten comforters. And you will be a rotten counselor to the person you wounded if you start accusing them of sinning for not healing as quickly as you think that they should. Enter in. Let them be sad. Don't let them sin, of course, but let them take their time in healing from it. And don't think that somehow you can expedite that. And that is especially true when it comes to the issue of trust. Trust when it is lost. Okay, it can be forgiven, but reclaimed, that takes labor, it takes effort and time, and you need to be willing to put it in. If you have broken trust with your spouse, with your kids, you need to work tirelessly, patiently, and without grumbling or accusing. When are you going to trust me? What do I need to do to prove it to you? You just don't have license to talk like that. You've wounded. You've sinned. There's a reaping. There's a sowing. It doesn't mean that you aren't forgiven for your sins. It just means that you're feeling the effects of your sins, and you need to ride the horse that you brought to the rodeo. You caused it. You need to endure it. And if I could, if you want to be a good comforter, I think there's, in Sunday school, we talked about this. We went over to 2 Corinthians 1, that prays to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in all of our afflictions. Why does he do that? So that we can comfort others with the comfort that we've been shown. For some translations, 5 times the word comfort is used in verses 3 and 4. We're supposed to be comforting one another. How are we to do that the way that God does that? And just incidentally, it's interesting that baked inside of that is what being a comforter will do for you. In the context of it, you have been hurt. God has comforted you. And if you follow the admonition of the 2 responses that Paul gives to having received comfort from God, you're going to be comforted further. What are they? 1, praise God. You've been wounded? Praise God. It will comfort you. It'll take your eyes off of you. Put it on God. 2, comfort others. What is the theme? It's that we aren't looking internally, that we're not wallowing, but we're looking out to praise God and to comfort others. And that will help you to be comforted. Transformed Season 4, FortisPlus.org. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. Ever feel like you're watching the world turn upside down and wondering if everyone else is seeing the same thing you are? Yeah, you're not alone. And at Fortis Institute, we're not just watching from the sidelines. We're fighting back with truth. We've brought together some of the most trusted voices in Christianity. People who aren't afraid to speak biblical truth into marriage and parenting and manhood and the cultural battles we're facing every day. But here's the thing. That mission, well, it takes resources. And that's where faithful gospel partners come in. By becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner, you're not just supporting a ministry. You're investing in the spiritual fortification of countless believers and local churches across the nation. You're standing with us in this brave new world. And hey, while you're thinking about it, make sure you download Fortis Plus if you haven't already. Hundreds of hours of biblical content available for you to listen to right now, and we're adding more every day, and it's completely free for everyone. The church needs more than just encouragement right now. It needs equipping. Will you stand with us? Visit FortisInstitute.org right now to become an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, 6 for preparing students for the real world. All that, plus the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So we decided to run the gospel through a focus group, and they loved the part about love. Then came the notes. Sin? Well, it sounds a little bit harsh, so they suggested we call it personal brokenness. Hell? Well, that's a big negative. Maybe spiritual separation? Saying Jesus is the only way? Well, that's just intolerant. You have to make him one of many meaningful paths. And the call to repent and believe, that just raises a little bit of friction. How about like and subscribe? We thank them for their time and kept the message. If you're done rounding off the edges, Witness Wednesday here at Wretched Radio will help you share the real gospel, a holy God, real sin, a just wrath, a crucified and risen Savior, and a clear call to repent and believe. And we'll do it kindly, clearly, and without the sales pitch. It's Witness Wednesday on Wretched Radio. You can listen to your heart's content at FortisPlus.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1678. John Bunyan's The Pilgrim's Progress is published. Written while Bunyan was in prison for preaching the gospel, this allegorical tale of the Christian life becomes second in international circulation, exceeded only by the Bible. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, yeah. I kind of kind of forgot. We haven't covered much ground, but I think it's important ground. Luther called marriage a school of character for good reason. Think of your spouse as sandpaper. They will either polish you or rub you to agitation. The choice is yours. This is Wretched Radio. Let's get to it more, shall we? Jimmy, it was called OnlyFans. This is the social media platform where you, it's porn, basically. You create your own porn of yourself or others, I guess. And you have the thing on the OnlyFans, however this thing works. And people pay for it. And the kids are doing it en masse. This is from, it was Fox News, like I thought. A trend is sweeping college campuses, creating and selling content on OnlyFans, a website that allows adults to produce and post their own sexually explicit content. Romans 1 called, in exchange for money from subscribers, has become a popular way for college students to earn extra income while in school. Check these stats out. In 2019, that site had 350,000 creators. That's a huge number. Fast forward to 2023, 4.1 million. Now, that's the people who are making the stuff. I mean, exponentially more are consuming the stuff. Our society's mind collectively is getting darker and darker and more twisted and contorted. And we're doing is putting fertilizer on the noetic effect of the fall. Rather than having our minds transformed, we're having our minds degraded, and we're giving hearty affirmation to it. Looking forward to being on the campuses this fall. We are now going to 4, Jimmy. We were just 3, but now we're going to 4. It's North Georgia University and Kennesaw. That's with Dr. Greg Gifford. We're going to answer the question, why aren't you happier? I think we've got 3. Not everybody will fit underneath this umbrella, but 3 really big explanations for why so many people just aren't experiencing joy. Then get to fly to Oklahoma, watch the Oklahoma game, a little bit of it on Sunday night, I think, because we're going to be at Oklahoma University. There's Oklahoma State.
There's
OU. I better get this straight before I go to Oklahoma. That'll be the 3rd week in October where we're going to talk about deconstruction. Speaking of, look at me. I'm segueing right here. Talked about football. That's entertainment.
Right.
And now talking about going to Oklahoma to talk about deconstruction. Lecrae, he's a celebrity. He's got a new album out. It's called Reconstruction. If you remember Lecrae, the rapper fellow, he deconstructed his faith. And now he's back with his 10th studio album saying that he's reconstructed his faith. Now, I hope the guy's saved. I hope that he's got it sorted. But I think we can learn from his language why the use of the term deconstruction and reconstruction aren't helpful. Deconstruction is something that is a trend. It is a part of postmodernism that tears down the institution, the idea, the philosophy, the religion, and then rebuilds it up in the image of Karl Marx, basically what it does. And we're doing this with everything, including inside of evangelicalism. Now, the Bible has a different name for it. It's called apostasy, and it lists about 10 different apostates inside of the New Testament. Demas forsook us because he loved the world. And so this is nothing new. And this is another instance where we need to use biblical language and reject worldly terminology like deconstruction and reconstruction, because the Bible... apostate. You're no longer an apostle. You're no longer, rather, a follower, a disciple of Jesus Christ. Apostate. Okay, what? Apostate. It's not post, because that would be after. That would make no sense. What is the word apostate? What's the etymology of the word apostate? Do you know, Jimmy? Can you AI that one for us?
I can.
Hey, speaking of AI, had a lengthy conversation with Daryl Harrison and Virgil Walker and Phil Johnson at the Cornerstone Conference in Daytona Beach. Pastor, I know you're already aware of the cautions to not use it to write your sermons. That's a big no-no. That should just be a big verboten. But also to practice caution when it comes to asking it for help and doing some research, because you've got to make sure that you're going to original sources or credible sources. Well, guess what I learned in talking to these guys in Daytona Beach? AI plays fast and loose. It does something called hallucinate. It provides hallucinations. It gives you what you've trained it to think it wants you to receive. In other words, it's sort of like Fox News. They tell you what your opinion is that you already possess. The AI will tell you what it thinks you want to hear, and it will make things up. Who was telling me about the Spurgeon quote? They put in a request. Oh, I know. It was Jim Osmond. He was saying that he wanted a quote from Charles Spurgeon on something. And got the quote. And Osmond was like, oh, that's a really good quote. Asked AI what the source is. Guess what? AI had made it up. So be very, very careful. Phil Johnson then shared his experience with it. He was saying that he was emailing with somebody who was accusing him and John MacArthur. This is very, like, now. This has just been happening. John MacArthur of something. It doesn't matter what it is. That, okay, I've got a can of Fresca. Speaking of John MacArthur, that John MacArthur said, I hate Fresca. And Phil Johnson affirmed that. And Phil responded and said, well, John never said that. Yeah, no, he definitely said it. Well, send me the source. The guy sends Phil the source where John MacArthur actually did say that. The problem was Phil knew the source, so he went to the actual source. And guess what? The source didn't say that at all. But AI included it in what appeared to be an original source. All that to say, be careful with the AI. Be careful. It's a tool, but it ain't perfect. Virgil Walker, Daryl Harrison used the term, it has human fingerprints on it. And that means there's going to be sin involved. The programming of the AI is done by human beings. And so be very, very careful. Jimmy, what's the apostate mean?
It means one who stands away.
One who stands. So give me the etymology.
So apo means away from.
Oh.
And states.
Standing.
Yeah, one who stands. So one who stands away.
Oh, wow. I was so off on that because I thought the A would be a negation, but it's apo.
Apo, yeah.
Oh. Well, now we all know, don't we? That's the term the Bible uses for deconstructing. Lecrae being interviewed for his album. This is the Christian Post said this, my foundation has always been Christ, but some things had to be rebuilt because some things were torn down. The tearing down marked the beginning of a healthier faith. Might I encourage us to not use any of the terminology associated with deconstruction? I don't know Lecrae's theology before he deconstructed. I will trust him that there was some bad stuff in there. But to use the term deconstruction, I think is to send people in a different trajectory. Oh, the thing is broken, it's bad, and I can refashion it and reconstruct it in my image the way that I want it to be. Instead, if you got bad bits of theology, don't deconstruct, reform. Don't tear everything down. Identify it and fix it. We all do that all the time. We should be constantly tweaking and adjusting it, but that is radically different than tearing it down and deconstructing it to reconstruct it. We don't reconstruct the faith. We repent of the things that we have had off. We repent of our bad understanding of things. And then we get in alignment with God's straight line because our line has been crooked. That's radically different than saying, I have reconstructed my faith. In other words, I built it in the way that satisfies me. In other words, the standard is myself. And the standard needs to be the word of God. He wrote this: if your building has asbestos, you've got to tear down some of those walls. Oh, okay, you got bad theology. You don't tear down the entire faith. You remove the asbestos. That's how you deal with it theologically. He tries to argue, there was some mold in my religious walls, beliefs that were not healthy, a lot of self-righteousness. Okay, that doesn't mean the faith is off. It means you're off. A lot of church hurt. Got to work through that, but that doesn't mean you tear down your faith. And I could not let that inform my walk with Jesus. They had to be destroyed in order for me to reconstruct. No, they had to be rejected in order for you to repent and reform. If you got some stuff that you're dealing with, don't follow this trend, because it will lead to utter abandonment in most cases of the faith. Instead, use biblical language to reform. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. A new DOJ task force just exposed the Biden administration's systematic persecution of Christians, documenting what Attorney General Pam Bondi called unmistakable evidence of anti-religious bias across federal agencies. They weaponized the FACE Act to lock up peaceful pro-lifers while ignoring dozens of firebombed pregnancy centers. Speaking of governments persecuting believers, Finland is dragging a Christian politician back to court for the third time. This politician tweeted Bible verses about homosexuality. She's already been unanimously acquitted twice, but apparently quoting Romans is now a crime that requires endless prosecution. Meanwhile, in the UK, they've gone full totalitarian, arresting an Irish comedian at Heathrow with five armed officers for three tweets he posted while in America. They held him for 16 hours until his blood pressure hit stroke levels, and his crime, saying men don't belong in women's spaces and that trans activists smell bad. Okay, a little harsh, but freedom of speech. President Trump just pushed back on Florida's plan to eliminate all vaccine mandates, including school requirements, calling it a tough stance and defending vaccines like polio as amazing and not controversial. Trump said people should take vaccines that work, pure and simple, to avoid endangering others. Meanwhile, the Florida Surgeon General is going full libertarian, saying every mandate drips with disdain and slavery and that your body is between you and God. The FDA is suddenly concerned about safety, tightening oversight of weight loss drug imports after finding 21% of foreign manufacturing sites non-compliant. They're worried about dosing errors and unapproved salt forms and knockoff versions of Ozempic. Funny how they discover quality control matters when Big Pharma's patents are the ones that are threatened. Sony just proved go woke and go broke is not just a slogan, it's a business model set up for failure. Their $400 million game, Concord, peaked at 697 players and died in just 2 weeks. Why? Well, because they were so obsessed with DEI, they forgot to include white male characters, required pronouns, and made everyone ugly on purpose. A former pro player says developers finally realized the loudest activists on Twitter aren't buying their products anyway. They're just professionally offended. Meanwhile, the city of Austin just blew $1.1 million on a new city logo that looks like, and I quote, a box of Girl Scout cookies. They had 300 different department logos and decided the solution was spending seven figures on abstract squiggles while their infrastructure crumbles. And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content. You can do both at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Books of the Bible. Amos was a shepherd called to prophesy during a time of prosperity in Israel and Judah. But this prosperity was accompanied by idolatry, extravagance, and corruption. When you consider the society you live in, Amos declares that God judges societies by his standard of righteousness. He hates all corruption and injustice. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ooh. Speaking of deconstructing right in front of our very eyes, this is Wretched Radio. You're going to a Presbyterian camp.
Yeah.
Are we Are we becoming covenantalists?
No.
Are you becoming postmillennial?
No.
Are you going to start paedo-baptizing?
No, no.
So what are you doing going to a Presbyterian camp?
Because they're our brothers.
Yes, they are. Let's not forget that, shall we? But they invited you?
Yeah. I like the way you say that.
Well, did they not know you're not Presbyterian?
Yeah, that was the first question out of his mouth, the pastor's mouth. He said, hey, would you have a problem coming?
Oh, that's sweet.
And I know the guy. And I said, well, do you plan on asking me to sprinkle babies? And he said, no.
I
said,
then we're good.
I think we're okay.
I told you that Ligonier is producing two versions of their curriculum for kids' Bible study or for teaching in Sunday school. A Presbyterian version and a Reformed Baptist version. I got to tell you, that's just, wow. They understand this is our stream. And yet there are other streams that are not contaminated with heresy. And we can even build a curriculum to bless them. I thought that was absolutely extraordinary. So you're going to the Presbyterian camp.
I am.
And you are going to talk on what?
The autonomous self.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what I'll start with on Friday night. And Saturday morning, we move to deconstructionism.
Oh, really? Well, I want to hear that.
And then by Saturday night and this Sunday morning, we're turning the corner. And our eyes are going to be on Christ from that point on.
Okay. So the autonomous self, mm-hmm. everything is individualized. The world revolves around me.
Right.
Deconstruction, what's your angle?
Well, I mean, I'm going to start out just defining it. It comes from the autonomous self. So I have to define that first.
Oh, you're right. They are related. Good call.
Right. And so then I'll move into the deconstruction. And I just want to basically, these are 20-minute talks. So I've got a short amount of time. So I just want to explain to the parents and the kids there how much of a trend it is. And they're seeing it so much on TikTok that the parents probably don't even recognize what their kids are viewing.
It's the message. If the message isn't overt, then the philosophy is informing whatever it is that they're presenting. And that's how we all get indoctrinated. That's how you learn to love your culture, because that's the air you breathe. And the same thing is true with social media. The kids are getting worldview at pretty much every single video they see. So good on you for making the connection between autonomy and deconstruction, because deconstruction is that historic faith, there's bits I don't like. Therefore, I'm going to reshape it in my image so that it is a religion that is pleasing to me. So in other words, you know what deconstruction is? If people even claim they reconstruct, it's my Christianity.
That's exactly right.
It's not the Christianity, my Christianity, because I've defined it the way that I want to. You think of that all by yourself?
I think so.
That's pretty good. Okay, so I've got a quote here from the Lecrae fellow who has, I'm glad, I trust everything is sound and he's square on the essentials. His next album is called Reconstruction. Now, here's an example of him challenging what he warns have calcified into legalism. So here it is. In Hebrews, said Lecrae, it says, do not forsake the fellowship. Close enough. We turn that into, if you don't show up to this building every Sunday, you're in sin. That's not what the Bible says. All right, if that's something, that let's just for the moment say that, yes, that is a correct assessment. I don't believe that it is, but you're right. You have to deconstruct, and then don't do that. That's it. If people are doing something in Christendom that you believe is a wrong application of scripture, okay, say, I'm not going to do it that way. And hey, brother, have you ever considered this? That's what it means to be in fellowship with one another. We work through those things and we put up with a lot of stuff where we disagree. I just heard somebody, it was Stephen Nichols at the Cornerstone Conference in Daytona Beach last weekend. He was talking about the relationship between MacArthur and Sproul. And he probably saw it pretty regularly. It was actually quite dear. He said they actually were deep friends, Sproul and MacArthur. And when I say Sproulin MacArthur, I mean Dr. Sproulin, Dr. MacArthur. He said they spent a lot of time together. They talked regularly. They would golf together. And he just kind of tossed this in and they disagreed on a lot. And I thought, a lot? What do they disagree on? Maybe an understanding of the application of Hebrews, this particular verse telling them to not forsake the assembling of the saints. But that's not a deconstruction deal. That isn't I need to tear down the faith or I need to disfellowship with you. It means I'm going to put up with you even though I don't think you got this right. And it means I'm going to just change my understanding of this text. Using something like this to say that I've got an axe to grind against Christendom and in what they would call institutionalized religion, which needs to be defined. But basically, this issue that he brings up here about not forsaking the assembling of the saints, we've turned that into, if you don't show up at this building every Sunday, you're in sin. Okay, that's partially right and yet wrong, his understanding. The warning is to not forsake the assembling of the saints. Does that mean you can never miss church or you're, quote, in sin? Does that mean you can never attend church in another building with other believers because, I don't know, you're on vacation or because your business insisted that you had to go do this? So on this particular Sunday, you found another church that you attended. Does that then mean that you're sinning if you don't go to your church building? Well, that's, of course, ridiculous. And sometimes circumstances, I think I once heard Paul Washer say that there in the day of, in fact, there's still some places like this on our globe, that if there is a snowstorm, people can't get to church, sometimes for weeks, sometimes for months. Now, they aren't forsaking the assembling of the saints because the forsaking is, I don't want to be with them. I don't want to go spend time with them this Sunday. Furthermore, the rest of the Bible colors out our regular assembling. What is the regular pattern for assembling as saints? It is weekly. It's on the Lord's Day. It's on Resurrection Sunday. It happens to follow the Sabbath pattern, although it's not the Sabbath. And we see weekly. Why? Because it's based on the creation week. And so if somebody says to you, if you ever miss a church service for any reason in this building, you are a heretic, which I doubt anybody's ever said. I don't know why he has an axe to grind with the encouragement, don't forsake the assembling of the saints. Can it become legalism? Well, legalism automatically means that you're adding to salvation. And just, I think a lot of times people confuse legalism and they'll use the Pharisee card in order to claim that you're being legalistic simply because you're saying, the Bible says this. The Bible says, don't forsake the meeting. And that's not legalism. That's just quoting the Bible is what that is. And if I could add this, if you happen to be an individual who struggles to go to church on Sunday for whatever reason, maybe this will help you. Stop going to see what you're going to experience this week. Don't go to church wondering, I wonder if I'm going to like the music. I wonder if the pastor is going to have a good sermon. We'll talk about this one day when I finally bring in Mike Fabares' book. He spent some time on being an active church participant in his preaching book, Church Preaching That Changes Lives. He dedicated some time to encouraging us, hey, if you're coming to church, you're a participant. It's not the guys up there. It's everybody that's in the building. And you should come with great expectations. You should come wondering, I wonder what God is going to teach me this Sunday. I need to be listening for it, which means I need to be an engaged listener, which means I need to not let my mind wander. It means that I need to be disciplined. Why? Because God has me in this place to learn about him and be changed by him. I wonder what I'll be able to do this week to serve others. I wonder what opportunity I'll have to take out the trash, to pick up a banana peel, to make the coffee, to serve others. Hey, I wonder how I could do that all the time. In other words, don't go to church as a consumer. Yes, we consume. There's no doubt about that. But we're also one anothering one another. It also means that we are going to participate in the life of the church. And that it just gives it a different feeling. I'm telling you, I know it from experience. It just gives it a different... Because I, when first got saved, I was just always excited to go to church anyway. I always liked church even when I wasn't saved. But it was like, I would kind of base the experience on what I thought about this or that. And I started going to church because it's a privilege to not forsake the assembling, to do the one another's, and to participate in God's ordained institution for spiritual growth. That's a game changer. This is Wretched Radio.
Let me ask you something. How much time did you spend on your phone yesterday? Don't answer that out loud. It's probably pretty embarrassing for the both of us. But here's the thing. You're going to be on that thing anyway, right? So why not use some of that time for something that actually matters? The Fortis Plus app. That's right. It is packed with content that'll change how you think, how you lead, and how you live. Hundreds of hours of teaching from voices you can trust. Marriage advice that actually works. Parenting wisdom rooted in scripture and theology that connects your mind to your life. And get this. It's all free. Completely free. No subscription, no hidden fees, just solid biblical content available whenever you want it. Plus, we're adding stuff every day, including my news feature that'll help you understand what's really happening in our culture through a biblical worldview. That's my intent anyway. Look, the world is trying to disciple you through your phone every day. Why not fight back with truth? Download Fortis Plus right now. It's free, it's powerful, and it's time to take back your screen time and use it for the kingdom. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org. Is your marriage at a bit of a breaking point? The person you said vows to and promised to spend forever with, do they now feel like a stranger? The love and trust between you, has that been now replaced with bitterness and betrayal and even silence? Well, know that you're not alone. Marriages everywhere are falling apart. Introducing Transformed Season 4. Six brave couples opened their hearts as Dr. Lou Priolo guided them through infidelity and resentment, communication breakdowns, using biblical counseling that actually works. 13 honest, powerful episodes that show you exactly how God's Word changes everything. One new episode drops every week, and it's completely free at FortisPlus.org. Plus, you can get the free study guide and apply these life-changing principles to your own relationship. Whether your marriage needs healing, or you just want to grow stronger together, this series, Transform Season 4, is for you. Streaming now at FortisPlus.org. Let's be honest. You've earned your PhD in couch sitting. You know exactly which cushion has the perfect amount of give. You memorize where the remote lands when you toss it. You are a professional. Well, congratulations. Your expertise just became holy ground. Fortis Plus has officially arrived on your TV. That's right. Your sanctuary of relaxation is now an actual sanctuary. Stream biblical truth without moving a muscle, except maybe your thumb on the remote. Every single resource Fortis Plus produces is now available on that beautiful big screen you justified buying because, well, it was on sale, honey. From your phone to now on your Roku, Samsung, LG, Vizio, Apple TV. Basically, if it has a screen and an internet connection, Fortis Plus is there. It's free to download the app. It's free to stream all of our content, funded by gospel partners who believe your couch time should count for eternity. Go ahead, stay seated, but download Fortis Plus first, because your couch just got promoted.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the apostle of our confession. An apostle is one who is sent. Jesus is the one sent from the Father and empowered by the Holy Spirit to deliver the gospel in which all Christians confess their belief.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Another celebrity deconstructioner. This is Wretched Radio. Have you heard the news? Jen Hatmaker, very popular author, very influential, particularly with women, giving an interview to the New York Times. We're going to have a YouTube video on this because I think Jen actually helps us. She is cliche ridden. Everything she says about her deconstruction, it's like, oh, I've heard that line. and she compiles them and uses them to just, here's the problem with the church. This particular headline from Christian Post. Jen Hatmaker reveals she left the church, might never return. I need a break from the machine. So much to unpack. We'll do that in the YouTube video. But might I encourage you, if you're feeling like Jen Hatmaker, you'd see Big Eva and you're like, I don't dig a lot of this stuff. You know, the Nashville, the worship music, it's become a business. I don't even like, you know, the surveys and the, it should just be about Jesus. And it just feels like it's a corporate thing. Don't leave it. Stay and fix it. That's what we're called to do. And that changes everything. And in this sense, we need to be like Islam. We need to have a 3,000-year plan. And if it doesn't get accomplished while we're alive, it's at least we contributed to that, to making the church healthier. And it'll change the way you get up on Sunday morning. You get to go and help the church be healthier. And even if it is merely your presence that week, I'm telling you, presence is a big thing. Just showing up. You encourage others. I don't think we remember this very often. And that is why I think we're encouraged to encourage one another with psalms, hymns, spiritual songs. What we're supposed to walk. Hey, Jimmy.
Yes.
A mighty fortress is. I'm just encouraging you here.
Thank you.
I'd probably encourage you more if I never sang again. The point is, you don't sing to live. No, when you're in worship and you're singing, and you're seeing others and you're hearing others, you get encouraged. You get fed because there are others there who love the Lord just like you do, who are willing to lay down their life for the sake of him who laid down his life for us. Your presence speaks to people. And here's another encouragement for you. If your life is stuck right now, This is, try me on this. Just test me on this. And you can conclude, that didn't really work. Commit to going to Bible study until the end of the year, until Christmas break. Just commit to going to Bible study, which means you will have to get up at least an hour earlier and show up and just do it. You see if your life doesn't change. I believe it will. Why? Because you've taken a really big step in the direction of participant, moving from the realm of consumer. You're becoming one who's like, I want more in church. I want more. I want to learn more. I want to be with Christians more. I want to participate more. I want to help others more. I want to serve people more. And it will change you. Church orders us. It aligns us with God's reality. We get so ripped by the world. Zing over here. Oh, important thing over there. The phone's ringing over here. The kids are doing that over there. And I need to make money here. And when are we going to go on vacation there? And suddenly you just get out of whack. And church puts you back in whack. That's right. Church puts you back in whack. It kind of worked for Whitney Houston. I don't know why it can't exactly work for me. Back to celebrity. Let's do another singer. There's my segue. Yeah. Taylor Swift.
Oh, yeah.
She's getting married.
Yeah.
I expected more enthusiasm out of you. I'll be honest with you.
You want that? We better go get Rebecca down the hall.
This is from MSN. So helpful. Part of this is she's sort of like a blind knife that finds a squirrel in the shed twice a day. Taylor Swift's about to find out what a lot of married women already know. And she gets some of this right and so much of it wrong from the article. My husband is also an avoidant Midwesterner, while I'm an assertive New Yorker. So the author of this article is talking about herself. When I got married, I soon learned that the avoidant personalities are all too happy to sweep any and all problems under the rug in the hopes that everyone forgets in the name of peace and harmony. As we both learned the hard way, the tactic doesn't work on someone who's not afraid of conflict. In other words, her. Our personalities were laid bare and there was nowhere to hide. That part is true. Forget her personality differences with her husband aside. That is true. You are laid bare. That's what marriage is. It It reveals you. And let me tell you something, you're going to see more warts than you would see in the Oz movie. Oh, that would have been Wicked. You'll see more warts than you'll see in Wicked, is what I should have been able to say. You are going to discover, whoa, my heart has got a lot of darkness in there. And your personality is going to have to start to like kind of expand and stretch a little bit. You like to do the dishes this way. She likes to do the dishes that way. Okay, who's going to give on this deal? The answer is you are. And the answer is she is. And while you're both doing that together, you're becoming more Christ-like because you're living a sacrificial life. So she's got that part, right? Let's continue. There's a lot of life to live after the dress fittings and sappy vows. That's unfortunate. And much of it is rife with some level of conflict and negotiation. Yes, don't see that, though, as what does she say? That a lot of life after the dress fittings is rife with rife? Okay, it's rife with sin, which means you have an opportunity to grow closer with one another and to grow individually. Because no matter who you are, that's what happens when two people blend their lives. It's inevitable. She's exactly right. Now, she goes to therapy to try to figure out how to make this work so that she can, you know, keep going down the rapids. It doesn't have to be that way. When you understand what marriage is, it's designed to do this very thing. It is a school of character. From the article, I do not wish to rain on Swift's parade, but I do wish someone would have been brave enough to sit me down for some real talk on what married women know firsthand. There's nothing magical about marriage. Nothing, not one thing, even for the happiest couples. Okay, that ain't totally true. That, and it's so negative. I think a lot of young Christian couples that get married are, I don't think they can be anything but somewhat naive about having two sinners live under the same roof. You don't know what that is until it happens. So there is a naivete that does exist. But I don't think we should frame it this way, that it's just going to be this, there's nothing magic, there's nothing good. There's so much good about marriage. There's so much that is good. I don't know how to articulate the feeling that I had when I watched my wife while pregnant, while on the delivery table, having to roll to her side so that they could shove a needle into her spine to give her an epidural. I don't know what to tell you that feeling is, but it's something akin to, that's me. That's a part of my flesh that's there. And that you're doing that together in order to produce a baby together. And mom's doing most of the work, by the way. Jimmy, can you come up? You've had kids. Wow, look at this. This is so. That's why I think men get that dopey smile, and I mean dopey in a good way. It's so fun watching a guy who gets engaged. Hey, dude, I heard some good news. Yeah, I'm engaged. Got that big cheesy grin on his face, and then when they announce they're pregnant, oh, it's this look like. That's what marriage provides. You can't get that anywhere else. And so this negative, well, let's see how long Taylor Swift makes it because I discovered this thing is a great big nightmare. According to celebrity psychotherapist Esther Perel, she writes, when we marry, we're signing up for a lifetime of contradiction. No, you're signing up for a lifetime of becoming one and working through those issues. Quote, we're all placing all of our hopes, expectations, and dreams onto a single person. Nope, those are placed on Christ. And for Perel, our litany of expectations is a grand setup for failure. Now that's a tragedy. And she's reinforcing the cultural narrative that says marriage is a nightmare. Is marriage hard sometimes? Well, of course. Go ahead, name something that people go, oh, that's cool. That wasn't hard. How's about piano playing? We were just down at the Cornerstone Conference. The dude who was playing piano was like, "Chops, man, you can bust a move on the piano." I'm not sure that that phraseology was correct. Yeah, and he didn't have to struggle at all. It just happened. He took hours, years to practice, and the payoff is magnificent. Ditto with marriage. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.